Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Caroline.
And let's talk about vaginas.
Let's.
Get ready, folks. This is going to be a very vaginal episode of stuff mom never told you.
Yeah, and there will be some things that might make you cringe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we need to talk about it because something called a designer vagina has been popping up in tabloidy news a lot more lately.
That sounds like a vagina is a celebrity.
Oh.
There is a celebrity vagina that's been popping up all over the news.
She's been spotted shoe shopping in Hollywood. No, designer vaginas are a horrible name because it makes it sound kind of nice.
Yeah.
For labiaplasty and vaginoplasty, plastic surgeries, elective plastic surgeries, more often than not, that are becoming more common. And before we get any further, what are we even talking about? What is a vaginoplasty, Caroline?
That is the removal of excess lining and tightening of surrounding tissue and muscles.
And even with that definition, calling it excess lining, do we even know what excess is?
No.
No.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of basically cosmetic reasons, sexual reasons,
mm-hmm.
more than anything.
Yeah, so a vaginoplasty essentially tightens the vagina.
Yeah.
Gets those muscles, sews those muscles together even tighter. Sounds very painful. Then there's the labiaplasty, which is reshaping of the labia minora and sometimes the labia majora and or the clitoral hood, which is called a hoodectomy. And all of this that we're going to talk about is different from getting the artificial hymen or having a hymenectomy of that tissue sewn across. That is another conversation we're sticking straight with the rejuvenated vaginas, designer vaginas, all this new fancy marketing lingo for vaginoplasties and labiaplasties. And these can cost between $3,000 and $10,000, and they're often not covered by insurance because they're often not medically necessary.
Right. It's usually performed as an outpatient surgery, takes less than 2 hours. And most of these surgeries are performed by OBGYNs rather than plastic surgeons, although there are certainly plastic surgeons getting involved. If you have one of these, you can expect a 6 to 8 week recovery, during which time you cannot have sex or take baths or do any sort of like lower body workout. Like squats.
Yes. And the risks of labiaplasty and vaginoplasty include bleeding and infection, creation of a hole between the vagina and rectum, and also popped stitches. Caroline, you are wincing.
I'm wincing.
I'm wincing inside. The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists advises women to be informed about the lack of data on these procedures and their potential complications because there is a massive lack of research despite the recent surge in women seeking out these kinds of procedures, because the history of vaginoplasties and labiaplasties for cosmetic reasons is relatively short. In 1971, we have the first paper published mentioning labiaplasty, but this time it's actually an enlargement, and that was published in the European Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology. And then in 1984, we have the paper Aesthetic Vaginal Labiaplasty, published in Plastic Reconstructive Surgery. But the terms labiaplasty and vaginoplasty don't really start entering the public consciousness until like the late 1990s.
Right. A New York Times article from 2004 talks about how vaginoplasty, labiaplasty, these procedures were once reserved for fixing actual conditions such as incontinence, congenital malformations, or injuries related to childbirth. But yeah, there's plenty of evidence. Although, you know what's interesting? There's not a lot of exact numbers. Yep. As far as these surgeries, because they're not necessarily coded through insurance. A lot of people have to pay up front since insurance doesn't cover a lot of them. But there's a lot of anecdotal evidence that demand has been growing rapidly. One doctor, Bernard Stern, was quoted as saying that 4 years after he began to focus exclusively on genital cosmetic surgery, he saw his business quadruple.
Yeah, there was an article about this, pretty detailed article actually, in Marie Claire magazine that came out in May of 2012. And, the author went to this convention, from the American Academy of Cosmetic Surgery, and they cited that there was an increase of more than 50% in those surgeries in 2008. Also, the BBC reported in 2012 that in the UK, they'd experienced a fold increase in labiaplasty. And some doctors will even say that the numbers that we hear are on the low side. For instance, in 2009, there were an estimated 53,332 quote-unquote vaginal rejuvenation surgeries, which are a combination of vaginoplasties and labiaplasties, performed in the United States.
So what's up with the rise? I mean, there's a lot of reasons, obviously medical reasons, that one would want to undergo a procedure like labiaplasty, for instance. Like, if you actually are physically uncomfortable with the way your labia are shaped.
Yeah, and there are problems that can arise with injuries from childbirth,
sure.
Incontinence, congenital issues that you mentioned before, but this rise in the elective
right.
surgery.
Yeah, well, with vaginoplasty in particular, women who get it, could believe that their capacity to enjoy sex, for instance, is compromised by a loose vagina, which it could be the result of a congenital condition or childbirth. Labiaplasty, your labia are irritated by clothing or exercise. There is a warning, however, about having these procedures for sexual satisfaction. Basically, it may not help. Dr. Thomas Stovall, who's the president of the Society for Gynecologic Surgeons, says there's no scientific data really backing up that it could necessarily help to get a vaginoplasty, for instance, for sexual reasons. In fact, it could actually hurt if it becomes too tight, basically. It could also lead to painful scarring or nerve damage, leading to either a loss of sensitivity or to uncomfortable hypersensitivity.
But again, there is so little data on a long-term follow-up with these patients. And anecdotally, doctors will tell you that there is a low rate of complications. But what we are learning more about is why people are seeking them. And there was a review of female genital cosmetic and plastic surgery published in 2011 in the International Society for Sexual Medicine's journal. And they found that 87% of the women who sought out some kind of vaginal rejuvenation surgery did it for aesthetic reasons, followed by 64% had discomfort in clothing. And that is when there are cases when the labia minora do irritate, like if they don't fit inside mm-hmm. underwear, or if they, often with bike riding, mm-hmm. women will report, excess chafing, that 26%, for instance, experienced discomfort with exercising. 43% also reported entry dyspareunia, which is painful sexual intercourse.
Yeah. Well, according to the British Journal of Medicine, 40% of women who inquired about genital reconstruction reported the desire to go through with it even after being informed that their labia were totally normal.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands. Not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
Yeah, in that 2004 New York Times article that you referenced earlier, they talked to this yoga instructor who was going to get a labiaplasty, and she just said that the only reason she wanted to get it was because she had just seen women's vaginas in porn, which were, quote, tiny and dainty and symmetrical, and so she felt like her lopsided labia needed fixing. And I think it's also telling that the New York Times reported that many women who seek these kinds of surgeries also have gotten other types of elective plastic surgery.
Yeah, Regina Lynn wrote a column in Wired in January 2006 where she basically calls all of this trend in cosmetic unnecessary vaginal rejuvenation surgeries, narcissism. And she scoffs at it. She says, think of the girls in Africa who are undergoing genital mutilation. And she says that, you know, it's this whole idea of ideal labia that's ridiculous and comes from porn. But I think it's maybe not just narcissism. I think there's a much bigger story there, that there is a woman like that yoga teacher who looks at porn for her idea of what a normal body and a normal vagina and vulva is supposed to look like.
Yeah, and we don't know. I mean, I will say that there are certainly instances when there is physical discomfort caused by that. There was an Exo Jane blogger who remained anonymous who wrote about getting labiaplasty surgery, and she said that ever since I was 11 or 12, my labia have been, how shall we put it, enormous, monstrous, excessive. Not only was this physically uncomfortable, it was unsightly. The first guy I had sex with actually commented, wow, you've got some big lips. Now, that is scarring emotionally. And she talks about how once she got the surgery, she finally felt some kind of self-confidence. But there's still, though, that issue of not knowing, of a complete lack of information on what something should look like, what is normal. Whereas we've come to accept, I think, that penises, for instance, come in all sorts of shapes and sizes.
Yeah.
And there are all sorts of, you know, nifty little jokes about motions of the oceans and the size of the boat and all that. But when it comes to the vagina, there's porn and nothing else.
Yeah, there's definitely an underlying question about awareness and education and where people are getting their information, or if they're getting any information at all. Melanie Berlier for The Atlantic in April 2012 wrote that the dialogue on message boards about vaginal surgery shows obvious confusion among women about what they should or should not look like. And she said there's widespread pronouncements of self-loathing and embarrassment over genital appearance. So, I mean, you're not getting in sex ed or conversations or talks with mom about what your vagina should look like, or if things are uncomfortable, or if you're just insecure, there's a total lack of a conversation there.
And vulvas are more exposed than they ever have been before,
right,
because of the prevalence of shaving all of your pubic hair off, getting bikini waxes. And this is something that even the doctors who are performing these surgeries will attribute to the increased interest in vaginoplasties and labiaplasties, because suddenly we are now seeing vulvas in all of their glory. Mm-hmm. And but whereas before, with pubic hair, if, you know, certain differences might not have been as pronounced. And and the thing is, it's not just going in and having a little bit of, you know, something, just a little something removed.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about the Barbie?
Oh my God, this is so horrifying. I told Kristen that my head exploded when I read this.
Yes, this is actually in our notes.
Caroline's head explodes.
Yes.
This was coming from that Marie Claire article about the vaginal rejuvenation conference. The writer talks about one doctor who's presenting his slides at a conference and dubbed one slide the full Barbie, which featured no inner labia at all for a, wait for it, a refined look.
Oh, refined. I would like to have a refined vagina. Like, has it been to finishing school?
My vagina went to cotillion and crosses her legs properly and holds her pinky out when she drinks tea.
My goodness.
She plays tennis too. As is expected, because, Kirsten O'Regan for Guernica Mag, on January 16th of this year, she talks about its inventor, Dr. Red Alensad, and he told her about inventing the Barbie in 2005. He said, okay, so I'd been doing, you know, more conservative labiaplasties before now, but he kept getting patients who wanted almost all of it off. So he says, get ready, because no, you're going to hear my brain just explode. He says, so I developed a procedure that would give them this comfortable, athletic, petite look safely.
And that is called the Barbie. Now, the thing is, though, I mean, yes, he's developing this surgery, and you could say, oh, you know, doctor, shame on you. But there is the part where people are coming in and requesting it. And O'Regan also talks to Dr. Gary Alter, who is sort of like the competitor for the Barbie. He does something called an Alter labia contouring, in which he takes out tissue of the central segment of each labia minora and sews them back together. And he also estimated, listen to this, that 20% of his surgeries are corrective from botched labiaplasties. So this means that women are not only going to get one labiaplasty, no, they're going to get a labiaplasty, getting a botched job, and then going and seeking out another one. There was another woman profiled who was talking about how she was very insecure about seeing her, you know, what her vulva looked like, and she first started and just got a Barbie, and then she got a hoodectomy, and it becomes this slippery slope to where What are we even wanting?
What is
the ideal vulva that we are, and where did that come from? People can blame porn, we can blame Brazilians, and we can blame all of these things, but it just seems to always go back to a lack of education and a fear of, you know, sexualizing women, of us, you know, not wanting to look. Oh, there's that episode of Sex and the City where we find out that Charlotte's never looked at her vagina in
right.
a hand mirror, and she goes home and is like, oh, clutching her pearls, and finally looks at her own labia.
Right.
And then probably got a full Barbie in another episode.
God. Well, I think Dr. Laura Berman puts it well. She's the director of the Berman Center in Chicago for Female Sexual Dysfunction. She says a lot of it does go back to self-esteem issues. She says most women walk around with a feeling of anxiety about their genitals because women are not usually brought up feeling confident about that part of their body. She says these surgeries kind of play into that.
They absolutely play into it. And here's the thing. No wonder we don't know what normal is, because normal is also a relative term when we're talking about vaginas, in the same way that we're talking about penises. You can do some averages and you can do some medians and such, all of that, but there is no such thing as, perfectly normal, because there is a range. And there was a paper published in the International Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology in 2005 called Female Genital Appearance, Normality Unfolds. Yeah. And the author talks about how there is a dearth of information or research on any kind of labial measurements or vaginal measurements. And she writes, in general, there are surprisingly few descriptions of normal female genitalia in medical literature. In contrast, measurements for male genitals are widely available and were published as early as 1899. And it's the same way that there's been so much research into male sexuality that we're just now starting to catch up with female sexuality. Same thing has happened with even just basic prescription drugs, where they used to only be tested on men because women have periods, and that's not a stable test case. And then finally we're catching up to that. And even just now in 2005, we're finally starting to look at vaginas. Can you tell how frustrated I am? I think I'm sweating a little bit.
You've got to worry about it, because our uteruses do tend to float around our bodies and make us crazy.
This is true. But to offer, for people with labia who are listening, to offer an idea of the range of what normal is, labia can be anywhere from 5 millimeters to 5 centimeters long. That is quite a range. And I mean, I'm not going to lie, I've experienced the looking at my own vulva and say, is that okay? is this fine?
I love my vagina.
I do too.
We're buddies.
Well, I love mine.
Yeah.
I don't hate yours. I'm just not.
Thanks. You're not a vagina hater. Thank you. No. I appreciate it. No, I think it's horrific reading all of these articles about women who are so, whatever their motivation is, whether they're uncomfortable, they have no self-esteem, some man has said something awful, or they've seen porn and now feel like they're huge and disgusting. It makes me so sad, and it makes me want to hug and also shake all of these people.
Well, it also seems too like, it's more of a thing that is being perpetuated by women, being scared perhaps, or just being uneducated. It doesn't seem so much to be a thing of heterosexual dudes looking at porn and then looking at their normal girlfriend and being like, you need to go get a full Barbie. Because in a lot of the articles that we read, the doctors will say no. The husbands never say, all they want is for their wife to be happy. They could care less. And there was even an interview with Mark Kearns, who is a senior editor, with a trade magazine, Adult Video News, who said, quote, I really don't think most men care. And someone else made a point of like, if a dude is at least just like getting around a vagina, then that's all other bets are off. That's not controlling for, jerks every now and then. Or how about moms? There are mothers also bringing their daughters into the doctor's office. This is also coming from that Guernica Mag article. There was one plastic surgeon who said, quote, I get a lot of young women brought to me by their moms. It's always the moms who bring them in.
I can't imagine. Like, how I would feel as a young girl if my mother was like, something's wrong with your vagina,
it's
honey.
It's shaming.
Yeah, it's awful.
You would never be able to recover. I mean, in the same way that ExoJane blogger clearly, will never forget someone, the first guy to have who has sex with her saying, whoa, and yet he still does it.
Yeah.
Well,
speaking of young women, in November 2012, researchers from University College Hospital, London, reported that more than 300 labiaplasties had been performed by the Britain's National Health Service on girls 14 and younger over the previous 6 years. And the Daily Mail pounced, and other news sources in Britain pounced, saying that these girls were having this designer vagina surgery and made a huge deal of it. But as the National Health Service points out, there's no evidence that the operations were performed for cosmetic reasons. Were some of them performed for cosmetic reasons? Maybe. The researchers looked at 10 websites, also this is terrible, offering procedures and found that the quality and quantity of clinical information was very poor and may be contributing to cultural stereotypes of an idealized vulva. The most disturbing finding they point out is that there's no lower age limit posted on the site. So if you are a young girl or a mother of a young girl, and you think something is wrong with your vagina or vulva or your daughter's vulva, you might just look at these websites and be like, hey, there's an idea.
And no one is going to tell you otherwise.
Yeah.
Because if you want to know what other people's vaginas look like, what do you turn to? Porn, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly sex ed is not doing the job.
Right.
And clearly these doctors are not doing the job as well because, there were some women who went like undercover to some of these, vaginal rejuvenation doctors and went in for a consultation. And every time the doctors said, oh, you're an average looking patient. Whatever makes you happy. If you want it, then sure. Go ahead and get it.
Yeah. Well, there's one website that I read about, called Show Us Your Vagina. It's over on Tumblr that encourages women to post anonymous photos and quote, highlights the importance of sharing and openness in combating body related shame.
Yeah. And I will not be posting the link to that Tumblr because we cannot
post
pictures.
It's not really safe for work.
Yeah. We can't post pictures of vaginas on our social media. But I did talk to a girlfriend about that Tumblr and she said that she went over, she'd heard about it
mm-hmm.
and scrolled through it. And she said that it was literally mind altering.
Hmm.
Just to see normal, because she was like, the only other vulvas I'd ever seen were in pornography, and I assumed that I was, just huge.
Mm-hmm.
And no, actually, once I look at what other women's vaginas look like, oh.
And
they're different. Oh, okay.
It's kind of mind-blowing, I mean, to think that that's what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is it the responsibility of a blogger on Tumblr to let you know you're normal?
Because we don't think about it, because there's been no research, there's been
right.
no education, and women are taught to cover that up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not supposed to look at each other's vaginas.
Yeah.
Or look at our own.
Well, obviously, I mean, because vaginas are dirty.
Yeah.
In the minds of so many people.
Yeah. And one thing that we didn't add in talking about the whole vaginoplasty thing of tightening those muscles, doctors will also tell you that regular Kegel exercises are all the vaginoplasty that you need.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not, like we've said earlier, discounting actual medical conditions, such as injuries from childbirth, but for the average woman, no, none of it is necessary. And vaginal rejuvenation is nothing more than a marketing term
right.
to get more women in the door, because it sounds nice, right? Who wouldn't want to rejuvenate a vagina?
Just go get a facial.
Yeah.
Go get a massage.
Put some of those cucumber slices on it. Give it some herbal tea. Be fine.
Yeah. That sounds so peaceful.
I know.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is a concern that because of the lack of education and the lack of research, that more and more women, and young women in particular, are going to go get this surgery because they are insecure. And all of a sudden you have all of these vulvas that look alike, but how do we know that's even normal? Just love your vagina.
Love your vagina.
Treat it with respect.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say, talk about your vagina.
Yeah.
Maybe women need to talk about their vaginas more often to other women.
Yeah.
So.
I feel like we bring up cervical mucus and speculums a lot.
Yeah.
So just keep the conversation going.
Exactly. Talk about your labia.
Yeah. How are your labia feeling today? Mine are great. Thanks.
Mine are amazing. I love them. But this is one of those topics where I don't want to give an inch to it.
Yeah.
And say, well, if it makes you feel better.
No, I mean.
No.
Medical conditions are one thing.
Yes.
But cutting off your labia, your clitoral hood.
And they're, yeah.
I can't even.
And doctors are not doing, you know, pre-screening for any kind of body dysmorphia.
Right.
Because it's probably closely linked in a lot of these cases because of the fact that a lot of these patients will have already have sought out other kinds of cosmetic surgeries. They're not looking into psychological issues that could be going mm-hmm. on, you know, basic self-confidence. You know, is it scary to be naked? Is it scary to look at your, you know, vagina sometimes and wonder what, you know, is it okay? Sure. You know, mm-hmm. it's normal to be insecure sometimes about what you look like without your clothes on, but the answer is not going under the knife.
Right. And getting a cosmetic surgery that no one sees.
Well,
so to speak.
Some people, yeah.
An internal cosmetic surgery.
Yes. So, yet again, I'll reclose things now. I really want to hear from listeners on this, what you think, what you've heard. Men, does it matter? Does the look of the labia matter? And has porn ruined women's vaginas? Is the, you know, has it created this idealized vulva that is driving some women to the plastic surgeon? Let us know all of your thoughts. MomStuff@discovery.com is where you can send your letters. But before we get to a couple of letters that you have sent our way.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
And Caroline, I figured since we were going to be talking all about vaginas mm-hmm. in this episode, we could read a couple of letters about going to the gynecologist.
That sounds excellent.
I got one here from Ashley, who had a bit of an awkward experience. When I was 16 years old, my mom decided that it was time for me to start going to the gyno. What she didn't tell me was that the doctor I would be seeing was the same guy that had delivered me, and she was scheduling back-to-back appointments for us. I was already terrified about someone getting all up in my vagina, so you can imagine my excitement when the doctor comes into the room, gets me into the stirrups, and informs me that I, quote, look just like my mother. This may have actually been the most uncomfortable moment of my life, especially when he continued on with the story of my birth. And needless to say, I did not ask him to clarify in what way I looked like my mother. I don't know what I would do. Thank you.
Yeah,
I think.
Well, I have one here from Kristen, who heard us talking about how your doctor should definitely not be slut-shaming you in the doctor's office.
No way.
And said, in college, I had unprotected sex with a guy I had been seeing for a while. I was on the pill and trusted my partner. A few days later, I started to notice a discharge very similar to something I've had before, BV, bacterial vaginosis. BV is not an STD, but an imbalance of the good and bad bacteria in the vagina. I decided to go to the doctor and make sure it was just another case of BV and get a prescription for it. My normal doctor was not available, so I saw a different gynecologist at the practice. When I explained the situation, she proceeded to act very irritated and lectured me on the many STDs it could possibly be before she even examined me. She concluded her lecture with, "You know, we can't fix everything. A penis could look perfectly fine but shed herpes skin cells on you during sex. Herpes is a virus. That means there is no cure. You will have that for the rest of your life." She then examined me and made comments like, "This looks like gonorrhea to me." She told me it would take 2 days for the results. 5 business days later, I had to call the office to ask if the results were in. I tested positive for BV, just like I originally thought. The test was negative for all STDs, including gonorrhea. Now, I'm not trying to claim that having unprotected sex is ever a smart idea, but by the age of 22, I knew the risks and definitely did not need an unwelcome lecture from a stranger. I never returned to the practice. So thank you, Kristen.
And thanks to everyone who has written into momstuff@discovery.com. We love hearing from you. Keep your letters coming. Or you can message us over on Facebook as well and like us while you're at it. Or you can tweet us at momstuffpodcast. You can also follow us on Tumblr at stuffmomnevertoldyou.tumblr.com. And if you would like to know how vaginas work, you can read that very article written by Ms. Molly Edmonds over at our website. It's howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands. Not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect. This episode is brought to you by Pedigree.
If you've been looking for love at first sight, it is closer than you think. It can be found at your local shelter. So this June 7th to 9th, join the Pedigree Adoption Drive, and the Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide.
Pedigree knows that bringing a dog into your home not only opens their heart, it can open yours too. Visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more about the adoption drive and to see full terms and conditions.